Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Friday edition of the program. We're heading into a good weekend for high school basketball. And I tell you, college football and college hoops, it continues this weekend, but Indiana doesn't play. Obviously, the bucket game against Purdue has been canceled or postponed. We'll see how that plays out. Maybe for the East-West crossover week, perhaps. There's all kind of rumors and questions about whether this matchup could still happen just a little bit later in the season. But Indiana football on pause this weekend. There's a number of Big Ten teams on pause and games that will not happen this weekend. And, of course, Indiana basketball coming off a close loss at Florida State when they played well and there were some things that down the stretch against a really big and good defensive Florida State team that did go pretty well for Indiana. You'd like to see them come back this weekend and play. They don't have a big opponent. They've got North Alabama coming on Sunday to Assembly Hall, and that's their second cupcake bye game, whatever you want to call it, of the season. Their second and final of the season in this different college basketball non-conference schedule. So we get Indiana basketball. It's not going to be one of the sexy matchups. It's not going to be anything like a Maui or an ACC Big Ten Challenge game, but I guarantee you one guy that's happy that it's not one of those big-time matchups, and that's Archie Miller. With the type of schedule and the way this season is laid out, really for all college teams, it's not like Indiana has just some special disadvantage here. They want those games. They want to work on things. They're probably guys that need to get opportunities or need to just get some minutes to see where they're at and what they look like in game-like situations that you can't do in a tight game that goes to overtime against Florida State, or you just don't feel comfortable doing at the Maui Invitational against that top-tier type of competition. So maybe we'll see some other guys on Sunday. Maybe we'll see some other rotations on Sunday. I think you can expect to see that. Indiana has a lot of guys vying for playing time, and that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out as we get a little deeper into the season. And don't forget, from a basketball perspective with Indiana, we're really not that far from Big Ten games. Within a couple weeks of Big Ten games on a somewhat regular basis between that point and the end of the year, depending on the school, what each team has three games between now and the end of the month. And then once you get to January, it's just a brutal, tough, exciting, good Big Ten schedule the rest of the way. As we try to get to March Madness, and that's going to be in Indianapolis, the whole thing, it sounds like. So exciting times in college hoops, and let's hope that the games continue to be played. For the most part, there have been a fair share of cancellations and postponements, and I think that we all expect at some point Indiana and many programs will have a pause, just like Indiana football has. They almost made it through at least the regular season with no issues. But I think it's just something that's going to become common where every team at some point has one. Some teams, I think Connecticut is already on pause number two because of COVID. That stuff could just happen. Of course, tonight at the Doghouse in New Albany, we'll be there for a 7:10 pregame show. And that's New Albany hosting Floyd Central in what should be a really fun game. And I'll tell you, it's the first rivalry game of the year. I put some of these games in a special category. New Albany, Floyd Central, New Albany, Jeffersonville. Those are two of my favorites. They really are. And normally you could expect a sellout, or without Romeo, a near sellout crowd for a game like tonight. But of course, with COVID, it's a limited crowd. It's 1,000 people that can be at the Doghouse. And somebody said, well, how's that limited? That's a lot of daggone people to have in the same building during a pandemic. Well, if you've been to New Albany's gym, you know the capacity is 3,500, 3,600. And so 1,000 is a really a, not even half of that. And so room to space out, I think, to do it safely. And those 1,000 tickets between season ticket holders and pre-sale at New Albany and some at Floyd Central as well, those tickets are all gone. So you can expect there will be 1,000 people in the game tonight. So as weird as it'll be to play one of these big high school games in Southern Indiana without the normal crowd that we're used to, it will actually, at least for me, calling the game on the radio and being in the gym tonight, it'll be more normal than any other sporting event or game that I've been to this season in person, because there have been at games recently 50 to 100 people maybe in the gym. It's been all parents for the most part at some of the girls and boys basketball games we've had on the air so far. Tonight with 1,000 people, that's considerably more. And so it will seem more normal, like a regular game, but obviously it won't seem like a Floyd Central-New Albany rivalry game, which kind of marks the real start of the season for me. This is always with the rivalry game, then with the Forum tip-off shootout tomorrow that we've had a lot of local teams participate in, going back to New Albany and Romeo. This is always the real big weekend of high school basketball, at least to me, to start the year. And so, interesting game tonight. We had a poll. We put it on Twitter, if you follow me, at Hoosier Hills. And little surprise, as of, let's refresh here, as of now, there have been 220 votes, and of those 220 votes, 58.2% say New Albany will win the game tonight, 41.8% say Floyd Central. I think it's going to be really close. I think it's going to be really tight. I'm not so sure that I wouldn't call Floyd Central the favorite based on what I've seen from both teams this far. I think New Albany's good. I think they've got a tremendous backcourt. I think Floyd Central, obviously, with Jake Heidbreeder, really good as well. But this is going to be a competitive game. And, again, the good thing is no matter what happens tonight, there's always that great chance, whether it's New Albany, Jeff, Floyd Central, our locals, that somehow those teams could match up again in Seymour in March. And wouldn't it be fun to get to March, that first week of March, and have basketball in Seymour? Maybe this vaccination is taking hold a little bit more and we can actually have a reasonable, not a packed house or not just a full crowd, but a reasonable amount of fans in attendance for postseason basketball in our state and see some of our local teams in that 4A sectional. But Silver Creek in 3A, others in 2A and 1A, get the chance to compete in the postseason. That would be a lot of fun. Tonight's game, according to a tweet from Cole Harrett's dad, who's a Floyd Central player, he's unavailable for the game tonight as he currently is dealing with some COVID-19 protocols. So we hope everything's good with Cole. Last year, you'll remember, now I've seen Cole kind of grow up and develop as a player, but last year in this New Albany Floyd Central game, he really had a big breakout. He's kind of always been known as a shooter, but maybe on the varsity level, he wasn't known as that. Well, if he wasn't, he sure was after they beat New Albany a year ago, and he had a real breakout performance for the Highlanders. So him not being there, obviously a loss for Floyd Central. Everyone knows how he can shoot the three specifically, but a good game, and we'll see how it plays out tonight. Again, our pregame coverage will begin at 7:10. If you don't have a ticket, you want to tune in, you're out and about, we'll have the full play-by-play story from you for the Doghouse, from the Doghouse tonight, again, beginning at 7:10 p.m. here on the Big X. Let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have a few Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a moment. A little bit later in the program, we'll be joined by Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana to talk the latest with Indiana basketball and IU football as well. And I tell you what, Tom Allen, and we didn't really get into this much yesterday because we had such a jam-packed show. It did come up with Matt Weaver, but didn't get into the specifics. But how about Tom Allen and Scott Dolson, who really have taken the high road, especially with the Big Ten's decision to move Ohio State to the championship game and waive the 6-game minimum requirement? I guess it's what you expect, though, with Tom Allen. When you see how he leads his team, talks about earning it with his pads, earning it on the field, I'm really not surprised that he didn't have a negative tweet or some complaining comments at his radio show last night. He took the high road, and they put a statement out that reflected that. So we'll talk about that. What's next for Indiana football? And, of course, we'll talk about Indiana's matchup on Sunday and maybe some things that Indiana looking to get out of that game, playing a lesser opponent on Sunday. Also, later in the program, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins. We'll catch up with him on some high school hoops. We'll talk about some recruiting as well. We'll get his thoughts on New Albany Floyd Central tonight. We'll get his thoughts on the Forum Tip-Off Classic, specifically Silver Creek and Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian, which, again, will be a matchup without Trey Kaufman for the Dragons. More on that in our headlines in just a moment. But that is what we'll do in the program today, and that's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out the new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And I guess fitting for a big high school basketball weekend, we should have some headlines surrounding high school basketball today. So we've got a few of those coming up right now. Andrew Grant's at Jeffersonville, who told me earlier this week they'll open their season against Silver Creek on December 18th. So what a treat for the first-year coach that's trying to get things rolling at Jeffersonville. They open with 3A number one Silver Creek at the Dragon Den on December 18th. So not a friendly matchup to open the season. No opportunities to figure things out before that big game for the Red Devils. But he told me in a conversation earlier this week that junior standout Will Lovings-Watts, who, you know, we want to see how he's improved in the summer and in the offseason, but you just can't because the Red Devils are on a COVID-19 pause right now. He has two scholarship offers still. We've reported both of these before. Bradley, which is where Sean East is at over in Illinois, and also Wichita State as well, which is interesting because they, since the offer, have had a scholarship change. So two scholarship offers, but he has a slew of schools, does Lovings-Watts, that are still very interested in him, from mid-majors to high majors, from local schools in Indiana to others across the Midwest and beyond, Ball State, Belmont, Butler, Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Louisville, Purdue, Tulsa, Virginia Tech, and Western Kentucky. Those are all schools that Lovings-Watts, who now a junior, continues to hear from. So going to be a big year for him. If he can get back out on the floor with this Jeff team, he's someone that I think you'll see more offers come in as the season moves on. Definitely as he gets to the spring and summer months, let's hope we're back playing in front of college coaches and things are somewhat normal at that point. But he's got a lot of interest, and it's a matter of time. You know how this stuff works. If one pops at the mid-major level, say a Ball State were to offer him, he's going to get other mid-major offers. They're going to take a more serious look at him. And, of course, he's got the big dogs with Indiana, Louisville, Purdue checking him out as well. And we'll see if he reaches that level. I think there's a good chance you could see Will garner a lot more interest from schools at that level of college basketball as well. So an update on Will Lovings-Watts. Also, Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek told me yesterday that Trey Kaufman is continuing to recover, Coach Hoffman said, from a serious ankle sprain that happened back in the fall. So nothing broke, nothing fractured, but it's being termed a serious ankle sprain. This happened before the season started, back in fall workouts during that time. So a lot of people and a lot of rumors, when a guy like Trey doesn't play, want to know what's going on. They heard he broke his foot. They heard he's out for the season. Not true. He does have a serious ankle injury, a sprain, but he is not out for the season, according to Brandon Hoffman. There really is no timeline for Trey Kaufman's return either. They're going to do, very smartly so, what's right to get him back fully healthy so he can contribute to the Dragons from whatever point he rejoins the team in action, you would think all the way through a run in the state tournament. So that is the latest. Had a lot of questions from some of you guys about what's going on with Trey Kaufman, but he does have a serious ankle injury, but this isn't a season-ending injury, which is good news for Silver Creek. High school tonight, high school basketball tonight, Floyd Central, New Albany. Highlanders 2-0, New Albany 3-0. That's obviously the big one tonight, the rivalry game. But also, you got to like the Silver Creek at North Harrison game, especially without Trey Kaufman in the lineup. Can Lou LaFay, one of my favorites, former Providence coach, interesting dude, great coach, defensive-minded coach, very detailed guy, he will be on edge seeing what he can do to upset the Dragons tonight And, of course, you still got to contend with Cooper Jacoby and Brandon Northern and Isaac Hinton and others as well that have stepped up into bigger roles with Trey Kaufman out. So those are the two biggies tonight. Charlestown also at Clarksville tonight. That's kind of a rivalry and a Mid-Southern Conference win. Clarksville's had a tough way to go so far this season. They've had a really, really tough schedule. They've had some injuries that are going to continue to affect them this season, and they've also had some COVID-19 issues as well. So they open with New Albany, Floyd, and Silver Creek. They're 0-3. They'll take on Charlestown tonight at 1-2, and I think we'll see more about this Clarksville team as they get a little bit more healthy and play an opponent that's not a 4A big dog here in the area. Also, this should be a good one as well. Lanesville at Providence tonight. That's a very interesting game. Lanesville 2-1. The Pioneers have played just one game, and they were winners in that contest. And South Central at Borden tonight, and then Rock Creek at Christian Academy tonight. So at the 1A level, you've kind of got a preview of what some of the sectional games in that very competitive sectional, great small school basketball sectional could look like tonight. Couple other quick headlines. How about Duke men's basketball? They've canceled the rest of their non-conference schedule. Coach K kind of went on a tear after their loss to Illinois. By the way, I should point out, if you didn't know, that was Duke's second loss at home in the non-conference schedule to a Big Ten team, and I believe the Michigan State game ended in double figures defeat for Duke. The Illinois game definitely was. But he went on a little bit of a tear about, and I'm paraphrasing here, he wasn't sure it was the right time to play basketball, specifically non-conference games. He talked a lot about mental health and players being at home over the holidays to get away from things. And so a couple days after that announcement, Duke put out Thursday a statement that out of an abundance of caution due to COVID-19 pandemic and to allow the Blue Devils student athletes time over the holidays to spend with family, that they are not going to play any more non-conference games this season. So they lose a game December 19th against Gardner-Webb and previously postponed games against Elon and Charleston Southern. They will not play either. Duke will face Notre Dame on December 16th and then won't play again until Pittsburgh on December 29th. So they're not losing a ton of games. Two were postponed. Who knows if they would have been made up regardless. Gardner-Webb, they will lose. So not a huge deal, but it is interesting that Coach K, and he's taking some heat. How about the Alabama coach, Nate Oates, who called him out yesterday in a press conference? He said, I wonder if, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, but if Duke was, you know, not struggling a little bit in some of these non-conference games, if this would be the case, if Coach K would be calling for college basketball to be put on a pause and for games to be picked up a little bit later in the month of January, once maybe you get through the holiday rush and maybe an uptick further in virus cases. So interesting to see the legend, the guy that normally does the lecturing, get called out by a younger and obviously a very aggressive coach in Nate Oakes at Alabama. That has caused a stir. Coach K, he's taking some heat over this decision because of some of the losses his team has so far this season. So that has been interesting to see as well. And also Indiana football, I should have said this earlier, they are going to get a commitment or a signing with a player from Chesapeake, Virginia. His name is Maurice Freeman. He attends Oscar Smith High School in Chesapeake. He had committed previously to Indiana, so it's no real surprise that he's signing early with the program. But he had some late scholarship offers, including one from Michigan and other schools that really were making a push with him, trying to flip his commitment to the Hoosiers. But again, this is just one of those little assist that Indiana and Tom Allen and the way the season has went and the publicity that Coach Allen has got, this is a little assist for them in helping a player like Freeman continue his commitment and go ahead and fulfill his commitment and sign with Indiana. A lot different than basketball. When you commit, very rarely do you see a decommitment and a player not sign with the school they verbal to, but that's pretty standard practice in football. So I think you could say a big pickup coming Indiana's way very soon with Maurice Freeman, who will sign with the football Hoosiers. That's a look at our headlines for this Friday edition of the program. We'll step out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana. We'll talk IU basketball, their game on Sunday. We'll talk IU football and what's next as they are currently in a COVID pause right now. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana, my guest. We'll talk some hoops and football in this segment. And Dylan, as we head into Saturday into the weekend, no IU football tomorrow. There's another Big Ten game canceled as well, so not as exciting as far as college football goes. And if from a basketball standpoint, definitely not as exciting of a matchup as what we've seen so far with North Alabama, coming to town for a noon matchup on Sunday. So excited we've got basketball on Sunday. We'll find out more about this Indiana team, but it's not a typical IU weekend with this overlap we're seeing in Big Ten football and basketball right now.
Yeah, no, it is not. It's unfortunate, you know, that the football team got so far. You know, they were one of four Big Ten teams that had played every game up until this point. And now, you know, the final kind of quote-unquote regular season game, you know, before that crossover is going to have to be canceled. And it's a bucket game that everybody loves, you know, seeing the two Indy rivals play each other. For Indiana fans, expected to win the game, so, you know, they'd love to have the bragging rights over family members or whoever for Saturday. But, yeah, you know, with basketball, yeah, it'll be nice. And, yeah, it's a little bit of a break after, you know, four straight games, actually, against some pretty tough opponents. And, you know, they should get a nice break here. You know, work on some things that maybe you don't try against Florida State and see what they can do. You know, North Alabama just lost last night, I believe, their first loss of the year to Troy. So they're going to come in off a loss. Indiana saw them a year ago, obviously won the game. So, you know, they have some familiarity with that, which is good. You know, maybe it can help. It'll be a fun game. It should be an easy win for Indiana. You know, it'll be a nice little test, nice little tune-up before getting right back into some tougher opponents with Butler. And I guess, you know, something to look out on is if the Butler game is going to happen, because the men's team has some COVID problems right now. So that's something to keep an eye on if Indiana is going to play its game against Butler next, which is slated for next Saturday, I believe, December 19th in Indianapolis. So, yeah. But, yeah, you know, at least we get some basketball on Sunday. Nice early tip-off in an Assembly Hall. So, should be fun.
And just as a sign of the times, if we needed any kind of reminder at all or had forgotten that we're playing in the midst of a pandemic, the IU women, they're without a opponent coming up. The Butler game on the women's side has been called off, so the Butler women having some COVID-19 issues as well. And we've seen coaches, U of L here locally, Louisville's coach Jeff Walls, women's coach, kind of leading the charge. You see coaches like him taking to social media to reach other coaches that might be interested in scheduling a makeup game. I saw the same thing from the IU women as well. So we're in that type of year where who you think you're going to play on a certain date, there's a chance that couldn't happen, but there is a chance that somebody you never dreamed you would have a contract or on the schedule with at least this season could be a replacement game, and we've seen that happen a lot. So IU women, another example of how crazy this year has been so far.
Yeah, definitely crazy, you know, and I guess it's nice that, you know, you have this flexibility and you have, you know, this social media, this social platform to sort of try to find an opponent to play. But, yeah, Indiana's still looking for an opponent. We were supposed to talk to Terry Bowen and Jalen Penn this morning to preview Butler, and obviously the Butler game was canceled. And, you know, depending on whether or not we'd have media as if they found an opponent yet, they still haven't, but they're still searching for one. I know they wanted to play Saturday. I think it'd be pretty tough. I guess unless you find maybe an in-state school or something or a school close by that to come and get here by tomorrow morning or late tonight to play. So maybe they could get one for Sunday. Maybe they could get one for Monday. The good thing for them is after, you know, this weekend when they're supposed to play Butler, I don't think they're playing again for another whole week till the next weekend when they start kind of Big Ten play with Nebraska. So, you know, at least early next week they should have some flexibility to schedule some games, maybe play one or two, because they did have a built-in flexibility in their schedule where they were probably going to add a non-conference game anyways. So, you know, you'll probably replace Butler. You might try to add another one before you kind of get set with Big Ten play in a week from now. So yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's a tough time. But, yeah, you know, one of the assistant coaches took to Twitter and asked to find an opponent. So it will be interesting to see if anyone kind of answers the bell and that is willing to come to Bloomington to play, you know, the Indiana women. You know, they're going to get back on the court after a tough road loss to Kentucky. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see that. But yeah, it's been kind of crazy seeing that coaches are able to do that, and it's worked out. From what I know, you know, I know Notre Dame's men's team did it as well. So it should be something we're going to be seeing a lot this season, or at least sort of the next month or so while non-conference play still going on. You know, I'm sure once conference play starts, you know, hopefully you see a little less of that, because, you know, you sort of have your built-in dates to push things and flex things, and then you have a set of games and it's in your own conference. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, we only have a few more weeks of this kind of crazy, you know, team searching for people on social media, and once conference play gets going, things hopefully get a little more smooth for basketball.
And you mentioned Big Ten play for Indiana starts on December 23rd, so we're, what, 10, 12 days or so away. And then from that point forward, the rest of the year, Northwestern, Illinois, and Penn State. And, of course, we just saw Illinois go to Duke earlier this week as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge and come up with a big win there. So we are, you know, really two games away, if things play out as they're scheduled at least, from seeing this Indiana team enter conference play. And we know the Big Ten, especially after this week, we saw some of the high points, some of the low points in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. But with Illinois in one of those first three games, Northwestern, I thought, really let one get away from them against Pittsburgh earlier this week in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. And then, of course, Penn State had a 20-point win over Virginia Tech. Yeah. That I really didn't see coming with what this program, that team has been through. So three interesting games to start Big Ten Conference play, and it's hard to believe in this different season, this very short non-conference against basically all tough opponents. You can argue that two were not, Tennessee Tech and North Alabama Sunday, but we are close to getting this conference season officially underway.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a gauntlet, much like it has been year after year. And, you know, Indiana gets a little bit of a later non-conference start, or start conference start. You know, I think, at least for Minnesota and Illinois play, it's upcoming Tuesday in the Big Ten. So, you know, they're kicking things right off pretty quickly. And you know, Indiana gets a little bit of a delayed start to the conference slate. But it's going to be tough. You know, I saw Virginia Tech beat Villanova, and I'm like, oh, wow, it must be pretty good. And then Penn State comes in and knocks them out of the water. And that's, you know, I think that's Penn State's biggest win over a ranked opponent in their program's history. So, you know, and once again, you know, you thought Penn State might have a down year. You know, you had the situation with Pat Chambers and him being let go and resigning, and, you know, Lamar Stevens is gone because he graduated, and you know, you're just kind of looking like it. Maybe Penn State won't be as good. Maybe Northwestern was one of the bottom teams, and they look kind of decent this year. I know Nebraska's had a tough game with Georgia Tech, who beat Kentucky. So yeah, it's not going to be easy in the Big Ten at all. And obviously, you know, you got the powerhouses like Iowa and Illinois and Michigan State. You know, it's going to be really hard. So it's been good that Indiana's been tested, you know, with the last four games they've played, because you kind of need that to get yourself ready. You know, last year obviously was a great example of sort of not really playing anybody through the first 9 or 10 games, and then you go on the road to Wisconsin and, you know, you lose by 20. So I think this will be good preparation for them as they enter Big Ten play, and that's where it all starts for Indiana. You know, if you want to be competing for the top of the Big Ten and then getting to the tournament and all this stuff, you know, you've got to be really good in conference. And, you know, you're going to have the opportunity for plenty of quality, very quality wins in the Big Ten this year. And I'm really excited for conference play to start, because the Big Ten's, I think, the best conference in college basketball, and it's always fun to watch.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. You can read his work at si.com/college/Indiana. Again, si.com/college/Indiana. Let's flip to some football stuff. No bucket game this weekend. We've discussed that. Maybe people think it could be a crossover game for the East-West week of Big Ten play, but there's also the unknown. Does Indiana bounce back after pausing things earlier this week? And are they even able to play no matter who the matchup is next week? Most Big Ten teams, and we talked about this some yesterday on the program, but I think in all cases, at least in the Big Ten, from a football perspective, it's taken teams a period of two games to get two games missed to get back where they can play again. So I don't know that we have any reassurances that even if it is Indiana-Purdue in the crossover week, or no matter who it is, that Indiana will be ready to play at that point.
Yeah, so, you know, you have Minnesota, Maryland, Wisconsin, sort of three teams that sort of had it They canceled the game. They missed two straight weeks because of it. So this will be Indiana's first week. So, you know, history tells you they might not be able to play next week. But one team that didn't miss two straight weeks was Ohio State. And, you know, they had canceled their game against Illinois a few weeks ago. And they were able to play the next week against Michigan State, which was last Saturday. And I think something to point out with that is because Ohio State had canceled that game out of sort of precaution. They didn't meet necessarily the numbers in the big that the where the Big Ten would kind of step in and force them, like, you cannot play this game because it's too dangerous. You know, apparently Ohio State said, you know, they weren't told they had to cancel it, but they did it out of precaution. And so listening to kind of Scott Dolson talk on the radio show last night and listening and, you know, kind of reading the press release where IU and Purdue put out a joint statement, it sounds precautionary, like they both started getting some cases earlier this week. And they both, and the ADs, you know, Indiana and Purdue both called each other and were like, you know, we have the same situation. They just decided to cancel it. It seems like it's out of caution. And if it is, you know, there's a chance that Indiana will definitely be ready to play next weekend. But you know, you just don't know how bad it is or if it's getting better. I think it's good that they stopped it so early in the week. You know, after I think it was Monday or Tuesday was when Indiana wasn't practicing at all. Tuesday, that's actually the first day when they kind of paused all team-related activities. So, you know, if you stop it early enough, kind of stop the spread. Hopefully that's been working out for them and things kind of die down. But, yeah, you know, it just depends. History shows that, you know, most teams are going to miss 2 weeks. But, again, if this is sort of a cautionary thing where they just felt it was best for both programs to just kind of take a break and take a rest and hopefully get it together, then maybe, you know, both teams, both Indiana and Purdue, will be ready to play in the crossover games next weekend. I doubt if Indiana is eligible to play that they would play Purdue just because, you know, when you look at number two Indiana in the Big Ten East versus who's going to be a number two in the Big Ten West in Iowa, that's a potential top 25 matchup that I can't imagine the Big Ten would want to pass on.
Interesting. So, and I haven't looked close enough to know, is it Iowa that is basically locked into the two spot? I know there's some things that could change this weekend because I think someone mentioned it possibly could have been Wisconsin in the two spot, but you think it would be Iowa for a potential matchup if it happens, or that at least both teams would be number two in their respective divisions?
Yeah, it looks like it. I mean, Iowa's 5-2, and I think Wisconsin might be the third place team in 2-2. They just haven't played many games. And so yeah, I think, you know, I guess if Iowa loses on Saturday and they get three losses, the council only has two, you know, maybe they can jump that. But yeah, I mean, one of the things the Big Ten is wanting to avoid is sort of repeat games, which is kind of where, you know, there could be an Indiana-Purdue. Like, if Wisconsin was somehow a two and, you know, they didn't want to have Indiana play Wisconsin again, you know, maybe you switch around and be like, okay, you know, let's have the rivals play each other than Purdue from the Big Ten West. But yeah, I mean, as it's kind of intent, as it was originally kind of intended, you know, whatever ranking or standing place you were in this, the East would be the same, would play the same one in the West. But yeah, so I think it's probably going to be Iowa. So if it is, you know, I can't imagine, you know, the Big Ten wanting to kind of switch that. And honestly, for Indiana, you know, you'd want to play Iowa if you can play next weekend instead of Purdue, because that's another shot to get a top 25 win. And, you know, hopefully that could boost you into a New Year's Six Bowl. Because somehow, some way, they're not already kind of being considered for one of them, which is really interesting, in my opinion.
We've got about a minute left, and I'm headed in that direction. I have been surprised, and maybe not really, when you think about Tom Allen and who he is and how he leads, but pleasantly surprised by the statement Indiana put out. It was a joint statement with Scott Dolson, the AD, and football coach Tom Allen. They were very respectful and seem to be understanding of the Big Ten's decision to waive the minimum game requirement. Tom Allen always puts it that we didn't earn it on the field. We didn't take advantage of the chance we had in that game to prove ourselves. And I very much respect that. But the college football playoff thing, I don't think there's been any statement or really much comment on it at all out of class from Coach Allen. But I tell you, that's hard to understand. And still, no answers, still no explanations, and that's kind of how things roll with some of this. They do the rankings, they do the placements, and some of it doesn't make sense, and maybe there's something going on we don't know about, but they don't give you any explanation.
Yeah, no, they don't. And, you know, Indiana started the first ever rankings came out 3 weeks ago. Indiana was 12. Ever since then, they've won and they haven't moved up one spot since then. You know, all I'm going to say is that if a 6-1 Ohio State team were on the road, if they were ranked number 12 and they beat top 25 Wisconsin team, they would definitely move up quite a few spots, in my opinion. It's kind of weird. There's two or three teams in front of Indiana that have two losses, and Indiana doesn't. I don't get it. And then when you looked at like New Year's Six bowl projections, and like they had like the number 15 in the Cotton Bowl playoff, and it, you know, they completely skipped over. They had 11, and then they jumped to like 15, so they skipped over, you know, the 12th team, which would be Indiana. So I don't get it. It's very interesting, and you know, it should be, you know, interesting to see kind of what happens. And you know, you'd hope a cancellation wouldn't affect Indiana, but with the way that kind of what they've done and still not getting any credit, you know, hopefully a canceled game wouldn't make things worse for them. So I hope for their sake they're able to play next weekend, and you know, you get an opportunity to kind of beat another top 25 team, because it looks like that's what they're going to need to maybe get, you know, where they want to be and where they honestly deserve to be at the end of this season.
Absolutely. Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. Dylan, thanks for the chat. Have a great weekend, and we'll do this again next Friday.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
We'll head to a commercial break, come back with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, and as we do, just see that Jefferson County Public Schools in Louisville, of course, yesterday the KHSAA said that practices could begin. Basketball can begin with competition on January 4th after the holidays, but JCPS has sent a letter home today to parents that they are going to pause that as well and still not allow workouts, practices, or games. They will reevaluate things after the first of the year. So high school hoops in Kentucky is set to begin with games on January 4th, but as of now, Louisville schools will not participate, at least out of the gate. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Just in, the Charlestown at Clarksville game tonight, boys basketball JV and varsity contest, has been postponed due to some COVID quarantining with the Charlestown program. So that game off tonight, one less game on the schedule here locally with our Clark and Floyd County teams. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins as we wrap up the week and a big weekend coming up of high school hoops. Yesterday we had a chance to preview the Forum Tip-Off Classic with Brian Snow of 247 Sports, who also is the organizer of the Forum Tip-Off. And today we'll talk about some more of those matchups with Kyle and some other things going on in our state right now. But first, Kyle, I know you're located in Indianapolis, but I also know that you've been there before. You follow our area as well, and you know how big of a game this New Albany-Floyd Central rivalry is each and every year. You also know some of the players and the coaches and about the teams. Your thoughts on this big one tonight here in Southern Indiana?
Yeah, that should be a fantastic game, and looking forward to seeing, you know, it's one of those nights where I'd like to be, you know, down there, and then Hammond and Gary Westside play tonight up in the region, which should be a fantastic game as well. But yeah, Floyd Central, obviously there's a long history of a rivalry between these teams. And, you know, I know, you know, I think most coaches would tell you that, you know, the way those two teams are coached are as well as any two teams in the state. You know, so I think that adds to it. You know, Todd Sturgeon and Jim Shannon do a great job. Both these teams, you know, are state contenders, you know, and both come in with undefeated records so far. So, you know, looking forward to seeing how that one turns out. And, you know, kind of like we talked before, you know, it's unfortunate. I covered a game this week where for the first time you felt like, you know, gosh, this just, and everyone I talked to in the gym and after the game, you know, commented on how weird it was. It was the LCLN game. And, you know, normally you have the packed house and the band's playing. And you know, that was really the first time it hit me really hard that how different this is, how weird it is. And I think that'll be the case down at New Albany tonight as well. where you're limited by the amount of fans you can have in the building. So, you know, that's the unfortunate part of this. And you know, there's a lot more things that are unfortunate than that. But from a basketball perspective, just really weird. And I think I knew that going into it. But probably for the, you know, I thought football felt relatively normal, but once you're in the gym and it's so different, it feels like, you know, an afternoon game in an AAU event somewhere in some respects, and it shouldn't, you know, it's weird that it feels that way for an LNLC game. And I assume that'll be, you know, kind of what it'll feel like tonight in New Albany, when they take on Floyd Central. But I feel like I say it a lot. It's the way it is. And that sounds like a cliche, but hopefully with the news of the vaccine, things are looking up for 2021, but that'll be how it is for the rest of this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyle Nedrip with us of the Indianapolis Star. This Forum tip-off event, it's a good one. We've been treated to some really good matchups the last few weekends. Last week there was an all-day event at Brownsburg, which, again, such great games, a place you really want to be at, but unfortunately just different this year. And the same goes for the Forum tip-off classic at Southport. There have been some tremendous crowds there. I mean, really some crowds that mimic or even exceed, because of how big Southport's historic gym is, crowds that we're used to for some of these big games down here, like a New Albany Floyd Central game in a normal year. But there are some tremendous matchups. We found out yesterday from Brandon Hoffman that Trey Kaufman will continue to be out. So that's a little bit of a bummer for Silver Creek and just for basketball fans in our state in general, that we won't see that Kaufman versus first matchup, future Purdue teammates. But Kaufman out for the foreseeable future, possibly. There's no real timeline. It sounds like they are committed to getting him back fully healthy so he can be with Silver Creek at some point later this season, hopefully for the duration of the season from that point forward. But that does take away some of the lure of that matchup between Silver Creek and Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian.
Yeah, it does. And I had talked to Caleb Purst. He was actually at the event last week at Brownsburg. And, you know, I know, you know, he was looking forward to seeing Trey and playing against him. And it sounds like that'll be, you know, I talked with Brandon Hoffman over text as well. Sounds like it'll be, you know, longer than just this weekend for Kaufman to get back. And they want to make sure he's 100% healthy, like you said. So, you know, that'll be worth monitoring. But also in the same vein, Cooper Jacoby was the star of the event last year when they played each other, and that was a really good game. 78-74, I believe, was the final of that one, and, you know, Silver Creek got an impressive win. But, you know, Blackhawks got a team even beyond Caleb First with, you know, some of the guys who can shoot on that team, with Zane Burke and Davidson's son, the coach's son, can really fill it up as well, Marcus. So they're a really good team, and I think Silver Creek will still compete at a high level, even without Trey Kaufman, with Jacoby and Brandon Northern are both excellent, you know, players. And of course, Jacoby going to Toledo, and Northern will have, you know, he'll have a chance to play Division I basketball as well. So, I still think that'll be a really good game. It's just unfortunate that we can't see First and Kaufman go head to head once more in that type of environment, but it is what it is. Hopefully we can see Kaufman play again at some point during the season. That's the main thing, is to get him back 100% healthy.
Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, so far, I mentioned that Brownsburg event, of course, the Forum tip-off at Southport this weekend, and there have been some other standalone games throughout the state, but highlights, and I think I asked you this the last couple of weeks, but highlights or things that stand out to you in high school basketball so far that have caught your eye as we are finally underway?
Yeah, I had a chance to sit down for, you know, I was there for 5.5 of the games on Saturday at Brownsburg, and it was fun to be back in the gym and see a lot of people that you kind of run into, and I know you're the same way. You run into a lot of people that you get to know over the years, and I saw some of those people there on Saturday, and what I took away was that there was a lot of sloppy basketball, and you have to remember, hey, we're just getting started with this season. A lot of these teams have had to go through shutdowns and are kind of still finding themselves, which is not uncommon this time of year. But I thought the intensity of the games was really high, and that's what I was struck by throughout the day. You know, there was a kid playing from Plainfield, Ian Scott, who had 43 points against North Central. And I don't think North Central saw that coming. I'm not sure Plainfield saw that coming. But a kid who's really improved his game a lot. I thought he was a standout. I thought, you know, when you talk about Mr. Basketball, and depending on what happens with Kauffman, that race is, you know, somewhat opened up, I think, a little bit based on, you know, what, you know, if he comes back and or when he comes back. So, you know, from that perspective, I thought Luke Goody from Homestead, you know, he had 34 points on Saturday night and a double overtime win over Cathedral. I was really impressed with that Homestead team. I think they're going to be a factor in 4A. They added Fletcher Lawyer, who came in from Michigan, and he's a junior, but adds a really good element for that team, another good shooter for them. But I was really, that's the best I've ever seen Luke Goody play, who's going to Illinois. And, you know, they came back and beat a really good Cathedral team, came back late in the fourth quarter and then ended up winning in double overtime. That was one of the marquee matchups, I thought, so far this season. And Christmas Attucks, I thought, too, and they have a lot of new pieces to their team. They got a good win over Warren Central on Saturday and then come back and beat Brownsburg by 2 points on Wednesday. So I think they're a team to watch. I think the city here between Attucks and Cathedral, those two teams play in the City Alliance and play in the city tournament. Both teams really good. And I think Attucks, you know, after they graduated Sincere McMahon from last year's team, you know, people thought maybe they'd take a drop off, but, you know, they've added some new pieces, including Jalen Hooks from Franklin Central. And, you know, that they're off to a 4-0 start, I think, you know, and they're one of the best teams in the state. Tonight I'm going to have a chance. I've seen Lawrence North twice, and they're ranked number one. Tonight I'm going to have a chance to see Carmel play at Noblesville. Carmel's ranked number two. I'm not sure, you know, based on what happens this weekend, I may rank them number one. Lawrence North has looked, you know, they've got some new pieces, and I'm not sure they've looked like the number one team. But Hammond, I think, is a team that people are going to want to keep an eye on. They're a really good team in 3A. Gave Lawrence North all they could handle on Saturday. And then Lawrence North came back in a rivalry game, beat LC by 5 on Wednesday. But I'm curious to see Carmel play. Brian Waddell is really coming along. He's a senior, you know, and I think he'll have a chance to play Division I basketball somewhere. A lot of really other good players on that team as well for the Greyhounds. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting out. It's always fun to see multiple games in a day. It feels like you learn more. So I'm looking forward to the tip-off classic again to see all those teams play 5 games in a few hours over there. So that'll be a lot of fun. But I think we're off to a good start. You know, I think 75% of the games or so have been played so far. So that's a fairly good number, and I think that number will hopefully go up as we go throughout the season.
Yeah, let's sure hope so. Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, thanks for the chat. And keep in mind, Saturday night, the nightcap of that Forum Tip-Off Classic after the Silver Creek game, it's Logan Duncombe and his Cincinnati Molar team against Lawrence North, who Kyle was just complimenting here in this final segment. Have a great weekend. New Albany Floyd Central tonight. Be on the air at 7:10 from the Doghouse. Catch you then. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.